Amen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching. I'm going to be taking some time sharing with you some things God has been so stirring in my heart. What's happened to me over the last couple months or so has been as significant to me in its impact in my life as being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking God for the grace and the anointing to somehow to communicate these things of my heart to you. Because listen, do you want to know God? I'm serious. Do you want to know Him? You know, it's said that so often we're taught about God. But do people know Him? Do you know Him intimately? Do you know what it's like to have an intimate fellowship with God? That's what He wants for you. And it's a matter of the heart. And we're going to take some time. I have no idea how long. But we're going to share things from my heart that I know can change everything. Listen, everything. Because your heart, it's so easy for your heart to get broken and to be affected adversely. It's so easy for it to be hardened. And I want to talk to you from my heart and just share with you some things that I believe will help you immensely. Can change everything in a moment if you'll let God on the inside do the work He desires to do. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus is teaching out of the ship. And in verse 2, the Scripture said He taught them many things by parables and said these things to them in His doctrine. Everyone say the doctrine of Jesus. That's what we're about to... How many of you think that's a pretty important aspect of doctrine? It's His doctrine. And then He begins to teach that doctrine by a parable. Starting in verse 3, He said, "Listen, or behold, there went out a sower to sow or a planter to plant. It came to pass as he planted, some fell by the wayside." Everybody say wayside. "And the birds of the air came and ate it or devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground." Say stony ground. "Where it had not much earth, but immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns." Everybody say thorns. "Thorns." And the Bible says, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground." Everybody say good ground. "Good." "And it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." So notice Jesus is teaching about four types of ground. Wayside, stony, thorny, and good. Wayside, stony, thorny, and good. And we want to look at what He's talking about, how to produce fruit out of that ground. Now we're going to let Jesus define the terms in a moment, but the question is this. Does the seed work in wayside ground? Yes or no? No, it doesn't. Did it produce in wayside ground? The birds of the air came, devoured it up. So does the seed work in wayside soil? Does the seed work in stony soil?
No.
Does the seed work in thorny?
No.
Does it work in good?
Yes.
So which one do you want to be?
Good.
So we have to determine if this is something Jesus... And look how critical this is. Go on reading with me. Verse 9, Jesus said, "Let he that has ears to hear, let him hear." What's that mean? That means you can be hearing and not hearing. This means you have to make a decision to crack open the door of your heart and let God in at a level you may never have before. Are you tired of being a nominal Christian? Are you tired of just kind of edging along, showing up every third Sunday or so, and eking out your Christian existence where God has no impact in your daily life? Listen, that's how most Christians live and die. And God's dealt with my heart as He's been really stirring me about someday that I will see Him face to face. And in my heart, He's asked me these questions. "Son, are you going to present me a crowd or a church?" I said, "Lord, I want people to know you. I don't want them to know about you. I want them to know you. To know you intimately." You can know God intimately. You can have intimacy with God that produces life in every arena of your world. And it's as simple as knowing how to let Him live big on the inside of you. Learning how to protect your heart. How to keep your heart. Look what He goes on to say. And then when He was alone, verse 10, they asked Him about the parable. Verse 11 said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those on the outside, all these things that are done, they're done in parables, that seeing they may see but not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted." Hebrews talks about in your heart. "And their sins would be forgiven them." Listen, he's about to tell you and me about the mystery of the kingdom of God. Listen, everyone loves a good mystery. This is the mystery of the kingdom. And Jesus said, He went on to say this, look at verse 13. He said, "Do you not know this parable? How then will you know all parables?" He's about to unfold the keystone, if you will, of understanding your new covenant. Of understanding kingdom living. And He said, if you don't understand this principle, you will not understand the kingdom. You will not be able to unfold all that is within the kingdom of God if you don't know this foundation. The Son of God is about to say, let me unfold to you the mystery of how to live within the kingdom of God. Do you remember Jesus said, seek first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Most people just live their life day to day, trying to get to the next day to have enough pleasure to want to live. To just get through this problem to that problem. That's not kingdom living. Kingdom living is an abundant life on the inside of you. A wellspring of life that pours out of you from the inside. Look what Jesus... Let's let Him define the terms. Verse 14. The sower or the planter plants the Word. So what is the seed?
Word.
So the seed represents what? The Word of God. Well, let's find out what the ground is according to Jesus. Verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan comes immediately. And he takes away the Word of God that was sown where? In their hearts. So what's the ground? So the seed is the Word. The ground is the heart. Go on reading with me. So we see wayside ground. Does the seed of the Word of God work in wayside ground? Okay, what about stony ground? Verse 16. These are they likewise sown on stony ground, who when they heard the Word, they receive it with gladness. This is an amen person. This is somebody that says, yeah, I love God. I believe it. Listen, you can believe the Word of God and it won't work for you if your heart's not right. Look what he said. He goes on to say this. He said, these are sown on stony ground who have heard the Word of God, receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. But afterwards, when affliction or persecution comes, for the Word's sake, immediately they're offended or they quit. Let me tell you, Satan's coming to get the seed out of your heart. And how he does that is not by just plucking the seed, it's the condition of the soil. Good ground keeps the seed long enough for it to work. It's that simple. But you see, the other types of ground, wayside, stony, thorny, they put the seed in such a precarious position is that it stops the life-giving force within the seed. Look at thorny ground. Next verse. Verse 17. Verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word of God, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, entering in. Entering in where? To the heart. Choke the Word, and it, the Word, becomes unfruitful. So, question, does the seed of God's holy Word work on wayside ground? Stony ground. How about thorny ground? Well, these are they, verse 20, sown on good ground, such as hear the Word of God, receive it, and then, or the one translation says, keep it there, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. What's that mean, 30, 60, 100-fold? Now, sometimes you'll hear taught 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold means 100 times, 30 times, 60 times. That's not what it means. 100-fold is talking about a full yield. In a harvest. If you ask a farmer, how was your crop? And he said, I got 100-fold. He'd be saying to you, I have a full yield this year. Now, for example, if you took an apple seed and all you ever got out of that apple were 100 apples, would that be a good yield out of an apple seed? No, you'd say it's pitiful. So 100 times that apple seed would be a poor yield. Yet if you take a kernel of corn, you're going to get 2 to 3 ears of corn. So you would, if you got let's say you got 3 years of corn out of a kernel, that's a full yield. That's 100-fold. Now an apple tree, when you plant it, takes years to produce its first apple. It'll take years, and finally when it does, it's just a few little naughty little rotten little apples that grow. And they're not even good yet to eat. You take care of it and you just get a few. And then after a few more years, it grows to where it now produces more. But after a few years of really taking care of that thing, every year it looks like a big red ball in the sky, in your backyard. Because it's full, every year, a full yield. But you've got to prepare and take care of the heart. Look what he goes on to say. Now, he's teaching about the kingdom of God. Look at verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as a man should cast seed into the ground. Let's stop there. Here's the kingdom, Jesus said. Bottom line, a man should cast seed, what seed?
The Word of God.
As a man should cast seed of the Word of God into the ground of his... Here's the kingdom. A man takes the Word and puts it in his heart. Here's the kingdom. A man takes the Word and puts it into his heart. Now let's draw this conclusion. Does the heart bear fruit when it's in the wayside condition? Stony.
No.
Thorny.
No.
So could we conclude this? Here's the kingdom of God, is that a man should cast the seed of the Word of God into the good ground of his heart. And he goes on to say this. We're here in verse 27. should sleep and rise night and day, the seed would spring up and grow up, but he doesn't know how. For the earth, or the heart, brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. What's he saying? When you start to bear fruit as a Christian, it's not able to be eaten when you first see the signs of it. See, Christians, by and large, have missed it when it comes to even receiving from God. Because they focus on the God side when the kingdom of God says focus on the man side. Kingdom living is a man should take the word and put it where? Now let me ask you a question. Who did God say had the responsibility to do that? We do. Here's kingdom living. Taking God's word, putting it in the good ground of your heart and doing it with consistency, keeping the heart. And this is why many, many people fail to receive from God, because their heart remains in a wayside, stony, or thorny condition after coming to Christ. And we're going to teach about what those conditions are as we go along. I plead with you, if I'm getting on my knees and begging would help, I would beg you to come, because this will change your life. And you would say, well, how would... And let me say this, if you don't, you're finding a condition of the heart. Wayside ground is a person that casts seeds indifferently. If you're indifferent to hearing the Word of God, you've already discovered a condition of the heart. I'm telling you, with everything in me, your life can change overnight if you'll let God really get in there and either mend a broken heart or, if you will, break up the fallow ground of a hard heart. He can do it. He can do it. He will do it if we'll give Him access. And it will change your world. Now, the inward man, the heart of man, as a seed, the man has a responsibility to put the seed and to keep that ground good. And then he goes on to say, look at the next comparison. Verse 30. Where shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what will we compare the kingdom with? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all the herbs, shoots out great branches, so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What's he saying about the kingdom? He said, it's so easy to miss it. The Word of God in your heart seems like nothing when you face a problem. The seed, you ever seen a mustard seed? It looks like a dot. But the power and the life in that seed creates a large bush. And he's saying that when you face the storms of life, you'll look at the storm and miss the simple principle of putting the Word in the heart and letting the... See, every seed... Remember this about the seed of the Word of God. The Bible calls the Word of God an incorruptible seed.
Right.
1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, being born again by the Word of God, by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's Word is incorruptible. What's that mean? It means it's a seed that can never, ever fail but to produce. You see, if you plant 100 kernels of corn in the best seed you could buy, they'll tell you statistically probably 2 or 3 of them won't grow. Why? Because the kernel of corn that you're planting has been corrupted or damaged. And God's telling you, my word is incorruptible. It always works. Yet, what has the church told us? When something doesn't work, what do we say? Well, God's sovereign. It's the seed's fault. You never know about God. Sometimes He does what He says. Sometimes He doesn't. God always answers prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. That all sounds good. Absolutely contrary to kingdom living. The Bible says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. But what has the church taught us to do? I mean, the church, I say, we've been generally taught. We've been generally taught that when something doesn't happen that we see in the Word of God, we just say, well, you know, God's sovereign. Has anybody ever here been hungry? Let me ask you a question. You're hungry right now. So am I. Let's just go. We'll be gone before you know it. Literally. On the other side, buddy. But listen. Listen, this is... I'm telling you. How many have ever been hungry? Can I ask you a question? Do gardens grow on the basis of your hunger? Do they? Let me ask you this question. This is the kingdom. If today you're hungry... How many of you are hungry right now? It's a good time to ask. Okay. What if the only way you could live is if a garden produced fruit for you? And if you waited till you were hungry to start the process? Let me ask you a question. Would you die before that ground and that seed could produce food to sustain you? That's why most Christians don't get their prayers answered. Because they plant the seed, when they get in trouble and they don't live in a kingdom life every day. They wait for something to come that forces them out into the garden. And they run out and go, where's the rototiller? Where's the seeds? Where's what? Get my Bible. Where's it at? I don't know. Find one. Call it. I'll meet with Pastor Ogles. Ogles. Pastor Steve or Amy Ogles. Whichever Ogles I can get, I'll take an Ogles. Give me an Ogle. If I can't get an Ogle, give me a more. I'll settle for a Betancourt. And if you can't get a bet, I'll even take a rock. Somebody help me. Now listen, God is a God of mercy. But Jesus is teaching a principle. Kingdom living. Kingdom living is night and day the man should rise and keep his heart. Night and day he should keep his heart pure. Keep his heart from being wayside, stony and thorny. And I asked this many years ago as I studied this out. Lord, how do I keep my heart good? And very simply, protect yourself from being wayside, stony and thorny. By reason of that protection, you'll have good ground. Go to Proverbs 4 quickly with me, and we're going to close here in Proverbs 4. You see, what God's been dealing with me about, see, matters of the heart are so hard to explain because no one knows the heart of another person. No one. And let me ask you this. One of the types of ground is stony ground where the person gets offended. Anybody here ever been offended? How about this? You ever been offended in church? Don't answer this one. You ever been offended in this one? If you've been here long enough, you have been. Well, and Pastor John, you're one of the people that offended me. And I will, I'm sure, in the future, in my humanity, do it again. I don't want to, but I'm human. The fact of it is this. Once, you ever felt justified with a bad attitude? Come on, don't. You'll see how people are like, oh, hallelujah, not me. I mean, if you ever, because some stuff just is rotten and unfair, isn't it? It's been done to you and you've been done it to others. Because you're human, right? You ever felt justified? I have. Do you know that'll affect your heart? Here's what God dealt with me about. He just revealed things to your heart. See, it's so easy to find yourself talking about things God doesn't want you talking about. You know, there's a scripture that says, who are you that judges another man's servant? Now, I've always read that scripture and, well, I'm going to practice it. But you know what the Lord dealt with me about? He spoke to my heart and said, son, I've placed you in the field. I've given you a row to tend to. If there's one plant or 1,000 plants, that's what you're going to be accountable to. And every time you go and you criticize someone else, Even in, we just need to discern, you know, all the reasons we give dissent. You ought to see, they're so holy, and it's like, hallelujah, never me. No, but listen, here's what he dealt with me. He said, son, do you know the pride and the arrogance that you must live in to leave your row and to go to someone else's, of which I have not asked you to tend to, nor will I hold you accountable? You get back to where I called you, and you stay there. If you ever deal with one of their rows, you pray about them. You don't lift your words ever to criticize. Who are you to judge my servant? Now, I'll deal with them. If they stand or fall, that's up to me. You keep your, as my father lovingly, kindly said as we were children growing up, in his tender-hearted, compassionate way, as we would be eating at the table and we'd say, what about him? And he'd say, put your nose in your own plate, boy. Enough there for you to deal with. That's the book of 5th John. Or the book of 1st Big John. He's Big John. I was Little John my whole life, you know. I'm no longer Little John. Anyway, that's another lament. But you know, the fact of it is that the Scripture gives you the right and the privilege to protect your heart diligently. I want to show you in Proverbs 4. It's not up to God. Kingdom living is to understand that you and I have the right. And by the grace of God, listen. And you know, a broken heart and a hard heart respond very similarly. And you might have a broken heart, but you know what the scripture says? That Jesus, he'll come and he'll heal the brokenhearted. And that word heal, it means like somebody taking 1,000 broken pieces and putting them in their hand and mending. And when he lets his hands go, it's whole. Humpty Dumpty never met Jesus. Jesus met Humpty Dumpty, he'd be back on the wall. Let me tell you, all the king's horses and all the king's men may not be able to put you back together again, but Jesus can. And many of our hardened conditions are a result of maybe our own mistakes and what others have done to us. But let me tell you something. A hardened heart will bring you to either wayside, stony, or thorny conditions. A broken heart will bring you to either wayside, stony, and thorny conditions. And you will miss out on the wellspring of life that your heart is meant to be. Our heart is to be like 1,000 streams coming out. And sometimes 80, 85, 90% of them get blocked. And we exist on the 10% that trickle. And we're happy with it. Not me. I'll tell you, God, and here's what I'm seeing Him do with me. And if He can do it for me, He'll do it for you. I've seen Him be able to just unplug them. And you know what He's taught me to do? And it's just so simple. I tell you, it's the simplest stuff in the world. But it's so, when it's up here, it's just words. But when it's here, it'll change your life. Just every day I ask this question. Every day. And I mean simply because live to learn to please an audience of one, because this life is so short. Lord, teach me to number my days that I might apply my heart. Remember, here is the kingdom of God, that a man should cast seed into his heart. How can you keep your heart tender? Recognize these days are brief. Lord, teach me the brevity of life. Because, you know, folks, the fact of it is, a few days down the road, I'll be standing before Jesus. And that's going to happen. And He said, and if you can learn how quickly that's going to happen, the temporal things don't matter. Well, so-and-so said this or did this to you. You know what? That's their business in their row. None of my business. What they think, what they want to say, that's between them and their master. Lord, it's my responsibility to pray for them and love them and care for them. Period. Not out of some duty sense of or some hyper-spiritual thing. I'm talking about from the genuineness of your heart that you want to please God and live to please an audience of one. And just simply every day say, Lord, I just want the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart to be pleasing in your sight. And I told Michelle, I said, honey, it's amazing how little you can talk. So I'm serious. I find myself, and it's almost like having, you say, well, it sounds like it's an overhaul. You know what? I believe God wants to overhaul us all. Yeah. Why? Because He loves us. Yet if you're so, you know, and I'll tell you, religious people thrive on what they see as weaknesses in others. You say, well, what if somebody draws a bad opinion of you because you're saying God's dealing with you? I don't care. They're not my master. I'll answer to Jesus. And if my helping and being open will help you to get your heart in a position where God can help your heart to be a wellspring of life, good ground producing 30, 60, 100 fold, that's fine with me. Because the fact of it is, what anybody cares or thinks about you is irrelevant if you please the audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that simple. It's really just that simple. Oh, to fall in love with Him. To know Him intimately. To know that He knows you intimately. I'll tell you, your life will change. Please let Him in. Please let Him in. I don't know where you've been broken. I don't know where you may have been hardened. And you say, well, Pastor John, I feel like my heart is everything's great. Oh, I rejoice with you. Then start praying for others as well. But also recognize that it's always, we always want to see more and know more of Him. Proverbs 4 as we close. Verse 20. We're going to read these verses in light of the parable of the sower or the operation of the kingdom. And we're going to be doing some time with this, okay? We're going to just have fun with this because it's going to change your life. I'm telling you, it's going to change your marriage. It will change your parenting. It will change everything you do if you let Him into this level. Because out of the heart flow the wellsprings of life. Verse 20, my son, attend to the seeds of my words. That's what we're going to, again, apply the parable. My son, attend to the seeds of my word. Incline your ear to my saying, or the seeds of my word. Do not let the seeds of my word depart from your eyes. Keep the seeds of my word in the midst of the ground of your heart. Yes. Question. Where do seeds work?
In the heart.
In the heart. They don't work in the bag. They got to be in the ground, correct?
Yes.
So couldn't we say this? Keep my seeds in the good ground of your heart. For they, my word, the seeds of my word are life to those that find them. Health to all their flesh. You want healing? Keep your heart. Keep the word there. Do you realize every word from God has sufficient power within it to bring it to pass? There's not one word that God will, that He'll fail. See, sovereignty is not God's ability to go back on His word. It's not His ability to go back on what He said. In fact, the book of Numbers says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken it, and shall he not make it good? You see, the church mixes sovereignty to things we don't receive from God. But you notice the church never does that when it comes to salvation. You never hear somebody give an altar call like, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed on him, and that's for you, maybe. You can give your heart to Jesus tonight, and he said he'll turn no one away except maybe you. Maybe Jesus will come into your life, maybe he won't. How will I know? You have to wait to see. If you go to hell, he came. If he didn't, he did. Why don't we apply the same brand of sovereignty to salvation scriptures as we do those that apply to healing? Those that apply to prosperity? God wants to prosper you. It's in his word. Those that apply to having peace and soundness of mind? Because, well, we have an experience there. So blame the seed. How many of you would blame a garden if it didn't work? If you're bright, you won't. Because the fact of it is, gardens do work. They have to be worked. And the ground of your heart was intended by God to produce life. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 23, I'll read out of the Amplified. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, or protect your heart with all vigilance or diligence, and above all that you guard, for out of your heart will flow the springs of life. Guarding the ground of your heart diligently. Ask yourself this question. If the kingdom of God operates this simply, as a man or a woman putting the word into your heart and protecting your heart. Now, you guard your heart. Whose responsibility is it? God's or ours? It's ours. Now, we're going to talk about how to do that, some tools to do that, insights that will help you to do so. Because when you guard your heart, it will stay good ground. And as long as it's good ground and you continue to live kingdom principles, putting the word in the heart, it will grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full ear and the corn. And you will be a person starting to produce fruit all along. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. How many of you like a 100-fold marriage? Are you happy with mediocrity? Are you happy with going to bed with somebody that you kind of resent inward, but you don't want to say it because you don't want to fight? Are you happy getting up in the morning with your stomach grinding? If that's all you want, then why would you live in a prison like that when you don't have to? You might have a 30-fold marriage, and maybe that's better than a 10-fold. But you know, you can have a 100-fold marriage, a full yielding marriage. You can, every realm of our life can exist in the full yield of God. But my only job is to keep my heart. See, the power's in the Word, not in me. The seed has the power. So that God gets the glory. He's just looking for good dirt. Well, one scripture said his eyes run to and fro the whole earth, looking for somebody whose heart is upright before him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. How many of you, if you're going to invest in something, you want to invest in something that works? He's looking for something with somebody good, found good ground there. Oh, man, I love to bless people. There's good ground. Oh, she's casting seed into their heart. Look at them bearing fruit. Oh, it's my heart for people. That's the kingdom. Kingdom living. Kingdom living. You know, we are called, above all else, to guard our hearts from being wayside, stony, and thorny. Let me illustrate it this way as we close this morning. My grandfather, I haven't shared this for years, but it came back to my heart. I love this story. When I was a kid, we had a boy in our neighborhood who was kind of like the terror of the neighborhood. Anybody ever have those in their neighborhood? How many of you were the terror in your neighborhood growing up? Why don't we have problems believing Ogle was that person? I'm telling you, please remind me, somebody on the staff, there's a picture of Pastor Steve with this kind of afro thing that you've got to see. We've got to put it on PowerPoint just so you can see it. Mamie looks exactly the same, but you've got to see this picture of Ogle. It will change your life. Anyway, I'm telling you, please somebody get that in, and what do they call that when you scan it in the PowerPoint? Scan that rascal in there. These guys got to see this, Ogle. It's a beautiful picture. But anyway, my grandfather had a garden, and he had one behind our home, and it was a pretty good-sized garden. And he kept the garden up into his 80s. Well, when he went would probably be in his mid to early 70s, which is still, that's a lot of work for any age. But when you get into your 70s, keeping a garden, that's a lot more effort. Well, there was this one boy in our neighborhood would go and just kind of run through it and kick plants over. Just kind of just ornery, you know. So my grandfather would come down and, you know, and tell us, you know, say, oh, the garden, you know, or whatever. And they kind of ignored my grandfather. My granddad comes down one day, and it was a hot summer day. And he comes down and he knows where the kid's about to destroy it again. He comes over to him and he walks over and he goes, no touch of pepper. No touch of pepper. And he pointed to a special row of peppers he planted. He said, everything in the garden you can touch, but no touch of pepper, special pepper. He walked away. Walked up to the screened-in porch. You could see out but not in. Bright sunny day. Sure enough, you know, the boy runs over, grabs one, rubs it on his leg, and boom. And these are his brother. If I remember the story right, if I remember, you know, things in your mind as a kid are hazy. His brother sent him seeds, or somebody sent him seeds, either from Italy or a cousin, I forget. But and they were hot. And when you picked them, you wore gloves. No, I'm serious. You know, you touch your eyes, and they were hot, hot peppers. And this kid, you. Out of every orifice in his body. Ah, he's screaming. He grabs the garden hose out in the hot sun all day, squirts hot water in his mouth. So, you know, he finally recovers. My grandfather comes all the way back down. He tells the little boy, it's so cute. And, you know, if you remember as a kid, he said, everything in my garden's hot. And he didn't go in the garden anymore. He kind of got it, you know. I can remember when a frost would be coming and he would ask all the boys, I had four brothers and three of us, at the time we're old enough to do it, four of us, would go out and cover plants. See, gardens don't grow. Remember this as we close. Prayers don't get answered according to the severity of the need, any more than gardens grow according to the severity of your hunger. That's a kingdom principle. And most people live under the illusion that if it's a really big problem, God has to show up because there's no other way. That's like a person starving to death saying, my backyard, I'm going to go home and eat out of the fruit and never planted anything. Gardens don't grow if you're hungry. Neither do prayers get answered because you have a need. Prayers get answered when you live in the kingdom. And I'm going to show you literally how this principle applies to answered prayer. And I believe with all my heart, it's not, listen, I'm not talking about getting your prayers answered, although that's so important. But that is a byproduct of kingdom living. It's not what we should seek for. What we want to seek for is such intimacy with God. Listen, I don't want to teach you about God. I want to teach you to know Him. To be so intimate with Him that you don't want to displease Him. That you guard the words of your mouth, not because you're some religious duty, but because you love Him. And I'll tell you, these are great days. Wednesday night, I'm going to be sharing these things, ministering to people through the laying on of hands. If there's any way possible for you to be in these services, please be here. I'm telling you, mediocrity is it's not much to live in. You can have abundant life in Christ. And we're going to spend some time and with some real keys that I believe will help you to get there as God really touches our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the privilege of loving You, serving You, knowing You. You are so faithful. Heavenly Father, we honor You today with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Savior of your life, if you died right now, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to hell. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'd like to invite Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I will pray with you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's going to ask you to stand up. I'll pray with you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray a prayer out loud and together with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simply raise your hand right where you're seated and I'll ask you to invite Christ in your heart. We'll pray right where you're seated. If you want to be included in that prayer, simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Is there anybody at all that you've never made Christ the Lord of your life you desire to? Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand back down. If you've not yet raised your hand, you want to be included in that prayer, would you quickly raise your hand right now and I will include you in that prayer. You are so precious to God. Thank you. God bless you, young man. Anybody else that you want to be included, you've not yet raised your hand, just do so and we'll include you. Well, that's wonderful. Pray this out loud, if you would, right where you're seated. And the whole church will pray it together with you. And Jesus is about to come into your heart. And at the end of the service this morning, there'll be people up front here waiting on you. You can come see them. They have some material for you. In fact, they might just probably they'll just meet you right at your seat and help you. And if you have any questions, they'll answer them. If you want further prayer, they'll pray for you. But right now, just pray with me to invite Jesus in your heart. Pray this where you hear it with your own ears. Everyone's praying it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin and is risen from the dead so I could be saved. I open my heart and I receive you, Jesus, to be my Savior and to be my Lord. All my sin is washed away. Jesus is my Lord. Welcome them to the kingdom, would you? God bless you.